Welcome, everybody. We are about to begin the second chapter of the Rambam's Hilchos Deos, the Laws of Ethics or Character Development. The first chapter dealt with the various dispositions and temperament of different people who live on our planet, and the Rambam discussed the various extremes and the right path to go in the middle of the road, the intermediate path, which he called the Derech Hashem, or the Mida Beinin is the Derech Hamtzoyis, representing the qualities of Hashem, a person becoming an embodiment of that path which Avraham Avinu taught his children. Chapter 2, the Rambam continues on this theme of character and personality development, and also discusses, and that's how he immediately begins, when people face the great challenge of finding their character traits to be quite lacking. Let's begin. Hilchos Deos Perek Beis, Halacha Aleph. Says the Rambam, he begins with a metaphor of physical illness. Cholei haguf. One of the illnesses of a body is toyamim hamar masek o masek mar. Are people who actually that which is bitter, they taste as sweet, and that which is sweet, from the perspective of their taste buds, it's bitter. V'yeshmin hacholim, there are those who are ill. Misha misave v'toiv l'machol sheinam ruim l'achila. People who actually crave and desire foods that are inedible, that are unworthy for human consumption. Kegoyin, you have it sometimes in an extreme. Ha'afor v'hapecham. People who have an illness, their taste buds are so damaged, their other parts are so damaged that they actually desire earth or charcoal. V'soyne ha'machalos ha'toivim. And somebody might hate food that's actually edible and good for the body. Kegoyin ha'pas v'ha'basar, bread or meat. This all depends upon how great the sickness is. This is a metaphor. Just as it's true in the body that sometimes, because of a certain dysfunction, that which is bitter I perceive as sweet, that which is sweet I perceive as bitter, that which is productive I perceive as constructive, and conversely, that which is destructive for me, I actually want and desire. Kach bnei adam shenafshi seyem choylos. There is a sickness of the body, and there is a sickness, the Rambam says, of the soul. What is the symptoms? Misavim v'oyavim adeis harayis. It's people who crave and love character traits that are actually destructive. V'soynim haderech hatoiva. And they loathe the good path in life. U'misatzlim laleches ba. And they are become lazy to follow it. V'hikveid aleim l'ma'oid. And it becomes very heavy and difficult for them. L'fi chalyam. Every person according to his or her dysfunction and spiritual or psychological deficiency and illness. V'chein Yeshayahu oimer ba'anoshim halalu. Yeshayahu, the prophet, describes these types of people. This is Yeshayah, chapter 5. Hoy, woe, ha'oimrim l'ra toiv la toiv ra, samim choshech la'oiv ar l'choshech, samim mar l'mosik ha'mosik l'mar. Woe unto those who define evil as good, good as evil. They define darkness as light, and light as darkness. What is bitter, they turn into sweet. And that which is sweet, they turn into bitter. So Yeshayah Anavi here gives three descriptions. What is evil is good, and what is good is evil. What is dark, what is darkness is light, and what is light is dark. And then what is bitter is sweet, and what is sweet is bitter. V'aleihem ne'emar, on these types of poor souls, the Shlomo HaMelech says in Mishlei, in Proverbs chapter 2, Ha'ozvim arches yoshel aleches badarchi choshech. They abandon the ways they abandon the just ways to follow pathways of darkness. What is the remedy for those whose souls are ill? They have to go to soul doctors. There are physicians, body doctors, and there are roifei hanafashas. What an expression. Doctors of the soul, and those he calls the chachamim, wise human beings who can heal the soul. V'yirapu cholyam, and they will help them recover from their illness. Ba'deis shemalamdim oisim ash yachzim l'derech hatoiva. Through the ideas, the values, the ethics, the perspectives that they will teach them until they will return to a healthy, functional path in life. So the Rambam says, what you see in physical illness has its counterpart in emotional or spiritual or ethical illness. where a person sometimes is gravitating or addicted or in love, or just naturally my instinct takes me to foods, and in this case to behaviors, to temperaments that are destructive, they're not good, and I need a soul doctor to help me heal. Those who recognize their spiritual deficiencies, they recognize the destructiveness of their mindsets, their temperaments, their patterns of behavior, and they don't go to the soul doctors to find healing. Aleim Omar Shleiman, these people, Shleiman HaMelech says in Mishle, Proverbs chapter 1, Chachma Umusar Evilim Bazu, fools scorn wisdom and ethics. Musar is also rebuke, chastisement. Wise people search for Chachma and Musar, but an Evil is a fool, scorns it. So the Rambam here really describes two people if you analyze it. First, he describes the person who calls what's bitter sweet and sweet bitter. What is dark is light and light is dark. I'm in darkness and I think it's light. But sometimes I'm not even aware of it. I really think it's light. It's pitch dark, but in my mind, it's light. Then the Rambam says, but if I'm aware of it, if I'm aware of the problem, then famous expression, Yediyah Samach L'chatzi Trupa, being aware of an illness is already half the remedy. The moment I'm aware that there's a serious challenge, that I'm struggling with something, now I can go seek help. So the first state is really a person who's so sick, they don't even know they're sick. Then the Rambam says, Mishamah, those who know it, and they still don't go for help, oy gevald, on this he has a special pasuk. The foolishness is so profound, the fear and the foolishness is so profound, that they scorn the potentiality for renewal, for rebirth, for recovery. V'ketzad hi refuasam. What's the remedy? How do you deal with it? So the Rambam says, Mishu bal chema, somebody who has serious temper issues. Bal chema literally means the master of wrath. He owns it. It's not just, you know, I get angry once in a while. I really own the quality of wrath. This person has serious, serious temper and anger issues. The doctor of the soul will tell him, lahanigatzmoy, to behave in a certain way. He may not be able right now to extricate the emotion from him. It's a big problem I have. So they tell him, you got to go to the other extreme. Generally, the Rambam said, extremes are not beneficial. Usually we like when people follow the middle of the road, a synthesis of extreme emotions and temperaments. That's all if you're more or less emotionally sound. Here the Rambam is going to suggest going to the opposite extreme in order to undo the extreme that was diametrically opposed. The example of what the Rambam is going to say would be, you know, when a paper was folded in a particular direction for a long time, you can't just get it back to the middle. It's not going to go, because naturally it gravitates to one side or the other. So what do? You have to bend it to the other extreme for a long time or for a while, and then you can straighten it out. So the Rambam says, this guy who has a serious, serious temper issue, we tell him, this is how you should behave. Shem huka v'kula. Even if somebody strikes you or curses you, lo yargish kla. Don't feel it, don't respond at all. Follow this for a significant amount of time, until the wrathfulness, the anger, the temper that you so easily gravitate to, and it became part of your life, will be extricated, will be uprooted from your heart. Through the very behavior, behaving in a way that I simply do not respond. I'm going to the other extreme. And it's somebody cursing a person. He's hitting a person. The Rambam says, it's as though you don't feel anything. It's as though nothing happened. You say, but that's crazy. Well, the person was crazy in the other direction. So the Rambam says, you got to go to this extreme. What if a person has an issue of arrogance? They're just full of pride and narcissistic pompousness, hubris, arrogance. Yani gatzmoy, what's the right behavior? Bibizoyen harbe. V'yeshev l'mata manakam. This person has to allow themselves to be disgraced. Let them sit, you know, in the back of the room, below everybody. Let this person wear shmatas. This person who was so arrogant and made sure that their honor is protected to an extreme, to the point that their arrogance becomes so toxic, the Rambam says, you got to go to the other extreme. Let this person wear shmatas, which is embarrassing. Or similar types of behaviors. Until this sense of hubris and pompousness is uprooted from the person. So he could go back to the intermediate middle path, shuhi derech hatoiva, which is the good path in life. And when you come back to the middle of the road, that's the path you walk through right throughout all of the remainder days of your life. This is the course that you should follow with other character traits. If you were gravitating to one extreme, you have to distance yourself to the other extreme. Why extremes? Because you were in one extreme. And if you're in one extreme, going back to the middle is simply not going to work. You really have to you have to create new neural pathways, as we would say in today's lingo. Your brain needs to learn to respond to life to different ways, to respond to people's comments, to respond to your spouse's comments, to respond to situations, encounters, circumstances, emails, text messages, whatever is happening in your life. Your brain naturally has learned to respond in a certain way from a place of terrible, terrible anger, or a place of absolute insecurity or exaggerated egotism. And you really have to create new neural pathways. And the Rambam believes that actions, habits, behaviors is the key in changing people. It's the key that changes people. Today we know how authentic this is, even from a scientific point of view, because it's actually actions, not words, not lectures, not classes, not lessons, with all due respect to those of us who give lessons and classes and lectures. It's actions, like he said already in chapter 1, that really change the person, because they actually recalibrate, they create new highways, new drachim, new pathways physically in our brain, where our brain now has options to respond to life in different ways. V'yinag b'zman rav, go to the other extreme and behave in the opposite way and follow this for a while, ad sheyachzor b'l'derech hatov, until you return back to the right path. And this is the intermediate path, the middle of the road, which is appropriate in every temperament, in every character trait. Now, somebody's asking here a question: does the Rambam believe in psychoanalysis? It's a great question. The Rambam believe in analyzing your mindset and temperament and how it developed and where it came from and so forth. It's a great question, and I'm going to discuss this in our question and answer segment. As you probably know by now, after the shiur, we dedicate a second class for questions and answers and deeper discussions in the Rambam. And they are loaded as a separate video. If you go to theyeshiva.net, you have the class of Rambam, and then you'll have, following that, the question and answer class. So I'm going to discuss it there because I think it requires a few minutes. Another question was, if the remedy is so simple, just go to the other extreme, why do you have to go to a soul doctor? What do you need a soul doctor for? The Rambam just told you what to do. Also, excellent, excellent question. I'm going to share with you a little story that I once read. Actually, somebody sent it to me last night about the famous Bal Musar, known as the Altar of Kelim. Kelim is a city in Lithuania. And the Altar of Kelim, his name was Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv. His yard site was Ches Av. He passed away on the 8th of Av. Tofresh Nun Ches, I believe, 1898. He was extremely poor. He wrote a letter to his brother. He had a brother, Reb Leib, who was involved in business. And he asked him if he could please send him some money so he should be able to fulfill the mitzvah of tzedakah. He wants to give charity. He said, even though I have nothing, so if I have nothing, I'm not obligated to give, because you can't give what you don't have. He says, I'm afraid that by not giving for a while, I'm actually going to become a stingy person. So I want you should send me some money. I should be able to give tzedakah. I should be used to the act of giving, because if not, even when I have money, I'm afraid I won't give tzedakah. And the point is a very powerful point. Actions are the most powerful, decisive factor that change people internally, not just externally, but also internally. And that's why for the Rambam, this is so important. It's interesting. We have a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Vav, Amud Beis, and the Rambam says it in Hilchas Sanhedrin, chapter 3. In the Jewish Supreme Court, in the Sanhedrin, you weren't allowed to have a very old man, somebody who never had children. And the reason is because you must have that these judges who were often trying capital crimes or similar serious crimes had to be very compassionate. And it actually says over there that somebody who was already older, they forgot the Tsar Gidul Bonim. They forgot the experience of raising children. When you raise children, you are, if you're normal and healthy, you are forced to cultivate rachamim, to cultivate compassion, because without that you can't function. And it brings out compassion in you. Somebody who's already far away, remote from that, and forgot that they're not allowed to be in the Sanhedrin, or somebody who never had children. It's a fascinating thing. The person may have an unbelievable disposition, but it's the fact that when you are raising children, you were raising a child, you are daily, on a daily basis, doing endless acts of goodness and kindness and compassion. You know what happens? Your brain changes. Now you could be in the Sanhedrin. If not, you can't be. Halacha Gimel, says the Rambam. V'yesh deyes, there are temperaments that it's actually forbidden to follow just the middle, intermediate path, to go in the center of the world. Here, we are obligated, according to Torah, to go from one extreme to the other extreme. Vuhu, what am I referring to? Gaiva lev. I'm referring to arrogance. It's not only appropriate that a person should be humble, as he explained in chapter 1, be a humble person. Rather, the proper thing is a person should be exceedingly humble. We have a paradigm for this. The greatest, most powerful, most holy, most wise leader, prophet, Rebbe of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu, Anav Ma'oid, V'lo Yinemar Anav Bilvat. Parshas Ba'alois Chava, Ish Moshe, Anav Ma'oid, Mikol Adam Asher Apnei Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was exceedingly humble in the presence of all human beings living on earth. Mikol Adam, Jew and non-Jew, by the way. Anav Ma'oid, not just Anav. Therefore, our sages instructed us in Pirkei Avos, ma'oid ma'oid have shval ruach. Again, they use the word ma'oid ma'oid. Your humility should be exceedingly profound and acute. Va'oid amru, they also said, shekol ha'magbia liboy kafar be'ikar. Somebody who inflates his heart to live an arrogant life, it's kafar be'ikar, he's denying the fundamental principle of reality, which means Hashem's existence. Shenema, the Pasuk says, V'ram levavecha v'shachachtas Hashem alakecha. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people in Parshas Ekev, you might become arrogant, your heart will become inflated and egotistical, and you will forget God. V'oidamru, our sages also said, Mesechus Soitadav Hei, M'shamtam an de'izbe gazasaruach v'afulu miktsasa. Somebody who has arrogance deserves to be in a ban, even just a little bit of it. V'chein, this is the Rambam's perspective here. Based on Halacha, the Rambam is saying Halacha. Here, when it comes to humility, we have to learn from Moshe Rabbeinu. V'ish Moshe anav ma'oid mikol adam asher apnei adam. Why? The Rambam says, because arrogance is a kfira be'ikar. It's like denying Hashem. And here, I think, we see the very point the Rambam is making. Moshe Rabbeinu was certainly aware of his qualities. He was certainly aware of his strength. He was certainly aware of his potential. And he was certainly aware of his vocation and the fact that he, not anybody else, was chosen by the Ribbono Shel Olam to liberate the Jewish people from Egypt, to give them the Torah, to lead them through the wilderness, and to become the greatest prophet in history, to communicate the divine blueprint of Torah to the Jewish people and to humanity. Moshe Rabbeinu single-handedly, together with his brother Aaron, stood up to one of the greatest tyrants and dictators in history, and staged a mutiny and a revolution, and liberated, as a messenger of Hashem, all of the slaves. So Moshe Rabbeinu's exceeding humility should not be translated as a sense of incompetence and insecurity and tremendous fear and the idea that I think that I'm an incapable loser. Moshe, the Rambam says, is anav ma'oid. He's not just an anav. He has extreme, extreme humility. How do we understand this? So it's all based on what the Rambam says right after that, that the opposite of humility, arrogance, is a denial of God. Which means one of the most essential ideas of Judaism is Ein Oid Milvadei. Every single person was created by Hashem and given by Hashem the powers and the resources and the gifts to be able to be an ambassador of Hashem, to bring light to the world and change the world. The humble human being is the one who knows it's not about my ego. God has given me the gifts, the resources, the talents, the opportunities, the circumstances, the very gift of life, of soul, of body, of mind, every single moment. And everything I do is as a conduit, as a shliach, as a messenger of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The moment I forget that, the moment I separate myself from God's reality, from God's oneness, from God's holiness, that's what real arrogance is. Real arrogance means that I don't realize that I am essentially a manifestation of infinity in this world. So the most humble person is really the most powerful person, because I realize that I'm a conduit and a manifestation of Hashem's light. This was Moshe's gift, and that's why Moshe was so, so humble, because he knew, I'm just a conduit. Chazal say, Shechina medaberes mitoch groina. It's like he understood that the Shechina speaks through the throat of Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Rambam, v'chein hakas. There's another attribute, anger. Midor rohi ad lamoid. Anger, too, is really destructive temperament. V'roi ladam sheisachik menat ksei ha'acher. Don't only go to the middle. It's worthwhile for a person to distance himself from anger to the other extreme. Teach yourself not to get angry, even something significant, that you would say it's appropriate to get angry. But here a person should really train themselves to stay away from anger. What happens if it's actually morally necessary? A person is responsible to educate his family or his children. And maybe there is a danger. You know, your child runs into the street where the cars are flying just to be pleasant and polite could actually be destructive. Or you're a leader of the community and you see something morally destructive or horrible going on, and it's important to display a sense of anger, of upsetness, so that they should come back to goodness. They should do the right thing. Display a demeanor of deep upsetness, of hurt, of anger, in order so that they should be able to get the message. But internally, remain serene. It's like a person who feigns anger, but he's not really anger. Internally, from your behavior, learn to remain deeply composed. Even if your external demeanor must be one that the children or the community get the important message of how terrible it is what they might do or what they have done. Amru Chachamim Rishonim, the early sages said, Kol HaKoyes Kilu Oved Avodah Zarah. Somebody who engages in anger, it's actually a form of idolatry. Va'amru, they also said, Kol HaKoyes, somebody who's angry, Im Chacham Hu Chachmasim Mestalekes Mimenu, Im Navi Hu Nevoasim Mestalekes Mimenu. If he is wise, his wisdom departs from him. If he's a prophet, his prophecy departs from him. People who are always angry, they simply don't have a life. It's a miserable life. Powerful words of the Rambam. So we have here two temperaments. The Rambam said, I want you to go, we have to go to the other extreme. The first he spoke about is humility. Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, ma'oid, ma'oid, heve shval ruach. Humility is something that the person has to penetrate a person's life to be exceedingly, exceedingly a humble person. Humble person means I'm always open to be a conduit for the higher truth. I never allow my ego, my insecurity, my toxicity, my hubris, my pompousness to get in the way of life, because it actually replaces God. I become a God instead of allowing God to be God and me being a servant and a conduit for Hashem. That's the first quality Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Rambam taught us. The second thing he said, it comes to anger. And he says, anger too is ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. It's like a form of idolatry. Because really, what is anger? What does anger really mean? Anger means, I feel like I lost control. I'm alone in the world. The world is out to get me. I am so angry because basically my core has been shattered. If I realize that Hashem's presence is always with me, that I am part of Hashem, I am a manifestation of Hashem's light, I'm a conduit of Hashem. So there's an invincibility in me. There's always a vortex. You know, the eye of the storm is always peaceful and tranquil. I don't resort to anger. If he says you have to get angry about something because something terrible might be happening, something in the family, you have to guard your children not to make this terrible mistake, or your community, the Rambam says, okay, display that face. But internally, you remain wholesome. If not, I am engaging. I have to know that I'm surrendering to a form of idolatry. And even if I'm a prophet, my prophecy will go away from me. God's spirit, God's love and energy cannot dwell in the soul in the place of anger, as it can dwell in the place of arrogance. I'll tell you a great story in the second section about questions and answers. Remind me about the Hilchos Kirushiner. And the Rambam tells us people who are angry, they just don't have a life. It's just a miserable way of living. It's just, you know, I'm always upset, I'm always angry, and I'm furious. It's a horrible way of living. We all know what people who lost themselves in anger have done. You know, in anger they've ruined their relationships, ruined their families, ruined their relationships with their children, ruined their jobs, and have made very foolish mistakes. That's why when it comes to anger, the sages commanded us to distance ourselves from anger, and that means sometimes I have to go to the other extreme. I should behave in a way that even things that ought to get me angry, I have to not respond. I have to retrain my brain. Even though you say this is not normal, well, until you get normal, you have to sometimes be not normal. The Gemara in Ksuva speaks about shtus, ahani le shtusei lesava. We call it shtus tikdusha. There's an insanity that comes from holiness, which must counteract an insanity that comes from moral dysfunction. That's what the Gemara says in Ksuva. Was it Reb Shmuel ber Reb Yitzchak, how he would dance by weddings? And you know, people thought it was disrespectful. It was like a form of insanity. And Reb Zeira said by his funeral, Ahani le shtusei lesava. Shtusei lesava. This form of insanity, going to the other extreme, was the counterbalance of insanity, of arrogance, or of anger, of other very destructive temperaments and character traits. V'zui aderech hatoyva, and this is the right path when it comes to anger. So other traits, he said, go to the other extreme and then you'll come back to the middle. When it comes to arrogance and anger, the Rambam says, the other extreme is very good. V'derech ha-tzadikim, the path, the way of the tzadikim is, hey maluvim, they become embarrassed. Even if they become ve'enam ovim, they will never embarrass somebody else. They will not stoop down to that person's level. Shemim cherpasa ve'enam meshivim. They will hear their disgrace, somebody, and they will not respond. They will not descend to moral purgatory. Oisim me'ahava. They live their life. They do everything out of love. Usmeichim b'yisurim. And therefore they can rejoice even in the pain that they receive. Aleim ha-kosavoymer. On them the Pasuk says in Shoftim Judges 5, O'yavav k'tzeis ha-shamesh b'gurasai. His lovers, those who love him, those who love Hashem, are like when the sun comes out in its full might and its full strength. Dalit. La'olam yar ba'adam b'shtike v'lo yidaber ela'i b'dvar chachma b'dvarim sh'tzarech lam l'chayi gufay. A person should always entertain and engage in the art of silence. Silence is a good thing. The Rambam says, instinctively, your path should not be, okay, let me say something because there's nothing to do. The natural path should be silence. A person should not speak only if it's words of wisdom or things that you actually need. I need for my body, I need for my existence, that's important. Amru al Rav, Talmid Rabbeinu HaKadosh, lo soch sicha b'teila kol yama, v'zui sichas rev kol adam. They say about Rav, the student of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Rabbeinu HaKadosh, the Rambam mentioned him already in the introduction. He authored Sifra and Sifri. He was a student of the redactor of the Mishnah. In his entire life, he did not engage in idle chatter, which the Rambam says is the conversation of most people. And even when it comes to the needs of my body, which the Rambam says you should talk about, even there, don't hakachainik, as they say. Don't engage in a lot of chatter. Our sages said, somebody who just talks a lot, it brings him to sin, to transgression. When I don't stop babbling and talking and hacking a chinik, even though I'm talking about what my body needs, it just brings to words that are undesirable. You have to be careful with words. Words that come out of your mouth, the Rambam says, be responsible for the words that come out of your mouth. Cultivate the art of silence. V'amru, they said, loy matzasi leguf toib elishtik. I did not find for the body such a positive thing like silence. Pirkei Avos chapter 1. Not only good for the soul, it's also good for the body. And even when it comes to words of Torah and words of wisdom, which is what a person should be talking about, when you meet people, what should I talk about? I should talk about, the Rambam says, generally be silent, but speak about words of Torah, words of wisdom, or words about things that are important, that are necessary in life. He says, even when it comes to Divrei Torah, the content should be rich. But the words should actually be few. V'hu shetziv hachamim v'amru, our sages said, la'olam yishana adam l'talmidov derech tzara. Teach your students in brevity. Learn the art of being concise, of being brief. The content, he says, should be rich, but the choice of words should be sharp and brief. If the words were many and the themes were actually scant, in other words, it's a lot of words, but the messages are very poor or very little. Let me see how he translates this. Halacha. Where are we? Pedek Beis, Halacha Dalet. When speaking about matters of Torah, one's words should be brief but rich in content. One should always teach his students with brevity. And if one's words are many and the content is scant, harezu sichlus, that is foolishness. Valzan Nemer on this deposit says, Koheles chapter 5, Kibah chacham b'roiv inyan v'kol ksil b'roiv dvarim. The dream comes with a multitude of subjects and the voice of the fool with a multitude of words. Wow. The voice of the fool comes with a multitude of words. The voice of the wise, the Rambam says in contrast, comes with few words. The words are brief and the content is rich. Says the Rambam, hey, siyag l'chachma shsika. A perimeter, a fence around wisdom is silence. He translates it here, silence is a safeguard for wisdom. L'fichach, therefore, lo yemayir lahashif. One should not hasten to answer questions. V'lo yar b'ledaber. Don't speak at length. V'yilamed l'talmidim b'shuvah v'nachas b'lo yitzayku b'lo yarichas lashon. You should teach your students with calmness and tranquility, without screaming and yelling, and without being so wordy. Hushamar Shlaima, Shlaima says, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Kehelas Tes, divrei chachamim b'nachas nishmayim. The words of the wise are heard with serenity, with calmness, with tranquility. Vav. Asur la'adam lahanig atzmai bedivrei chalokos upitui. Incredible halach. A person is not allowed to behave and communicate with the gift of gab, with a smooth tongue and deceptive words. V'lo'i echad bepev echad belev elatoichi kabare. Never be that person who says one thing and means something else. Your inside should reflect your outside. Your toichai, actually toichai, your inside should be kebare like your outside. Va'inyan shebelev wadavar shebepeh. What you're experiencing in your heart, the truthfulness inside is what you communicate verbally. Va'asur lignav das habriyas. Never are you allowed to deceive other people. Va'filu das hanachri, Jew or Gentile. Even a non-Jew, it's nothing to do with the Jewish people. You're never allowed to deceive somebody. Why would you think there's a difference? Says the Rambam Keitzel, I'll give you an example. There's a non-Jew who wants to eat kosher meat. He likes kosher slaughtered meat. He thinks it's healthier. So what are you going to do? You might sell him basar nevela, but makam psar shchuta, even if you're not charging him extra. Even if you're not charging him extra money, there's no monetary fraud here. Do not tell him that this is basar nevela, but makam psar shchut, it's deceiving somebody. Don't sell a non-Jew psar nevela, meat of an animal who died, not according to the laws of ritual kosher slaughtering, but makam psar shchut. Even though you didn't lie, we're not talking about lying, but he's coming into the store, and he wants to, or you don't even know what he wants to, he may not want to, but he naturally thinks he's taking meat, and he asks you for some meat because he thinks he's getting shechted meat. Now you're not going to lie to him. You'll just give him meat. He might think it's what? Shechted meat because it's a kosher store. You really took that piece of meat. You say, what's the difference? He's a non-Jew. What's the difference? That's deceiving somebody. Even, fascinating halacha, the shoe that was made of the hide of an animal that died naturally, and you sell that shoe in lieu of the shoe that came from the hide of an animal that was slaughtered. It seems like that the hide of the animal that was slaughtered was considered better or tougher. So you sell this shoe. This is absolutely deception. Furthermore, I'm not allowed to request for my friend to eat by me, and I know that he can't come anyway. So you understand what I'm doing. I'm trying to buy friendship. I'm trying to display generosity, and I don't have to pay the price for it. This is called deception. I'm not harming the person, but this is called gevurah kedushah. It's echad bepev, echad b'lev. I know that you have an invitation to somebody else's house for Shabbos. I know you're not coming to me. But I come to you and I say, I would love to have you as a guest in my house. Could you please grace us with your presence? I say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going somewhere else. I'm a chai, everybody's happy, right? I'm happy I don't actually have the guest. You're happy you got such a beautiful invitation. I'm happy that now you consider me your friend and a nice person, but I was deceptive. I was deceptive. It's echad bepev. The Rambam says you're not allowed to do it. Don't give him exceeding gift, extra gifts. You know he's not going to take it. Person comes to your house, yeah? You offer another dish, another dish, another dish. You know he's not allowed to eat it. But what? You just want to use the opportunity to make believe that you are such a generous person. And maybe you are a generous person, but this is insincere. This is a great one. You say, let's open, in honor of the guest, we're going to open these 10 barrels of wine, you know, 100 years old, just in honor of the guest. No, you have to open it anyway. You want it open anyway. You probably, maybe you want to sell it. But who cares? You're killing two birds with one stone. I'm a chaya. The Rambam says that's deceptive. Anything similar. One word of deceptiveness. Stealing somebody's mind, deceiving somebody's mind, meaning making a false impression, saying something that's not expressing sincerely who you are and what you mean, this is forbidden. The way to live is always have a lip that utters truth, a correct spirit, a pure heart that's liberated from all deceit and trickery. Zion. Lo yehei adam, the last halacha. Lo yehei adam, bal schoik umahasalois v'loi otze v'oinen elasamech. Person shouldn't be a mocker, a jester, somebody who's just laughing all day and making, you know, jokes about everything. But don't be miserable, melancholy, dejected, depressed. Elasamech. Be a happy person. Kach amru chachamim, schoik v'kalus roish mal gilinus adam le'erva. Abundant laughter and jest and lightheadedness, frivolousness, train a person. They can bring a person to promiscuity. But Sivu, they said, a person shouldn't be parutz b'tzchayk. Let's see how he translates it. Perek Beis Halacha Zayin. Parutz b'tzchayk, how would you say that? A person should not laugh without control. You shouldn't laugh without control. V'lay otzev, but don't be depressed or misabel. You're miserable and grief on a regular basis. Ela mekabel es kol adam b'seiv panam yafes. Always greet people warmly with a pleasant countenance, with serenity. That's how you greet people. V'chein lo yiyeh bal nefesh rechava nivel lahayin. Don't be a greedy soul, rushing for every dollar you can make, you know, for the last penny, for wealth and possessions. But on the other hand, v'loy otze l'batel m'malacha. But don't be lazy and just idle from work. You know, since I'm not greedy, I don't need another penny if I do nothing. Rama says, no, that's not a productive life. Don't sit and do nothing. A person has to engage in work. What do you bal ayin toiva? Learn to have a good eye, a positive eye. Forgive others. And you don't need everything. You don't need another dollar. Memayid be'esek v'asek b'tayra. And the Rambam says, you should limit your business endeavors so you can occupy yourself with Torah study. V'oisei ha'ma'atsho chelka yismach bay. And that part, even if it's a little, that a person has, that's his lot, you should be happy with it. The Mishnah says, a wealthy person is somebody who knows how to celebrate what you have. V'loi bal k'tata. Don't be a quarrelsome person. You know, people are always confrontational, fighting, arguing. I have to fight with everybody. Don't be that type of person. V'loy balkina. Don't be a person who's an envious person. Anisht farginer. I'm always jealous. Don't be that person. V'loi bal taiva. Don't be that person who's full of appetites and desires and addictions. Don't be that person. Next, v'loi roi defacher akovet. And don't be that person who's always pursuing glory and honor and attention. Kach amru chacham, the sages said, hakina v'ataiva v'akovet metzina sadem min ha'olam. Jealousy, desires and appetites and honor remove a person from this world, which means they create for a very crippled life. Very crippled life. The person cannot live a happy, serene, wholesome life. You don't even get to know yourself. You certainly don't get to know other people. Klolei shel davar. The general principle and the conclusion is as follows. Yelech b'midah habeninis shebechol deya v'deya. A person should follow the midpoint quality of each temperament. Ad sheyiyu kol deyosav mechuvones b'emtzos. Until all of the person's character traits are aligned at the center of the road. V'hushe shleima amar. Shleima melech tells us in Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 4. Pales magal raglecha v'chol drachecha yikoinu. Align the pathways of your feet. You should walk on an even road, an even path, so that all your ways will be established and correct and firm. This concludes second chapter of Hilchos Deos. Now I'm going to take some questions.